So a couple of things before we begin. Also, again, pardon our dust. We are still modifying the stage and getting it all into new shape, if you will. Also, next Saturday, we've been invited to a baby shower. The Cannons are having a baby cannon ball, I guess, maybe? Cannon ball. Did anybody get that? Okay. But next Saturday, the whole church is invited to their baby shower. More information will be given about that. Also, next Sunday at church, we will be honoring our high school and college graduates. If you have a high school or college graduate that you already haven't turned in the names of them, please turn that in to us so we can make sure that we honor them. And then also, after the service Sunday, we're going to have a reception downstairs for those graduates, and it's a taco theme. And so there's a sign-up sheet if you want to sign up to bring various taco items. And if anyone knows how to make guacamole, I will give you a quarter if you bring it. Okay? But it's got to be good guacamole, not this brown stuff that, you know, good guacamole, okay? Just remember that, and then we'll have several other things gearing up toward our VBS coming up in the summer, so forth and so on. So just remember all of those things. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. If you do not have a copy of God's Word of your own, it should be there should be a Bible in the pew close to you. It's on page 668 of that copy of God's Word, Colossians chapter 3. We are finishing up basically the entire book of Colossians, not this Sunday. We got after today, we have three more studies in the book of Colossians, and then we're going to jump back into our study of Genesis, into the second phase, if you will, of Genesis. So we'll have three more lessons or three more sermons on Colossians after today, and then we'll jump back into Genesis. So to Colossians chapter 3, we're going to be reading today from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17. If you are able and you would, please stand out of reverence for God's Word. Verse 1 says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now put away all of the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of our Creator. In Christ there is not Greek, not a Jew, not circumcision, not uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all." Verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is God's word. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, If there's anything that I'm about to say that does not honor you, let those words fall and hit the ground. Let them not be heard. But everything that exalts Christ, everything that the Holy Spirit uses to glorify the Father, I just pray that you would draw us closer in that, as this text says, in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, help us to see how we are to live in light of the supremacy of Christ. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would use this time, glorify yourself through it, and I just pray that you would forgive me of my failures, forgive us of our failures as a congregation, and just help us to love you more because we've been here today. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the book of Colossians, let me remind us where we're at. The book of Colossians is a letter to the church in Colossae that Paul had written. He had never been there. And as far as we know, through what we know of Paul's journeys, he never did get to this area. It's about 100 miles away from Ephesus. And Ephesus is a bigger city, a bigger congregation. So the premise is that Epaphras, a gentleman from the Colossian church, actually traveled to Ephesus, was converted under the ministry of Paul, befriended Paul, learned under Paul, took what he learned, came back to his hometown, planted this church, started this church, and this church is starting to grow and thrive in the suburban-ish area of Colossae, if you will. And so Paul is writing to this church to help them see the supremacy of Jesus in everything. And we've looked at that throughout the entire first two chapters. And then in chapter 3, Paul starts to turn, basically. And the thesis of this sermon is basically the thesis of this section. The main point that I want to point out from the passage is should be the main point of my sermon every week. So the thesis is, for this message, in light of the supremacy of Christ Jesus, so everything that Paul's talked about so far, we reflect God's glorious salvation to the world around us. So in light of the supremacy of Christ Jesus, we reflect God's glorious salvation to the world around us. So that's the thesis that I'm going to try to address this morning. We're going to do that in looking at three separate sections or three facets of the way Paul has broken this down. And the first one is focus upward. Focus upward, that's in verses 1 through 4. The second way is to don't slip backward. Don't slip backward, that's in verses 5 through 11. And then finally, and thirdly, live outward. Live outward, that's in 12 through 17. So focus upward, don't slip backward, and live outward are the three ways that we are going to live in the light of the supremacy of Christ, because everything stems from that. If Christ is not supreme, if Christ is not Savior and Lord, I don't care how many rules that you hear, how many laws that you have, you won't be able to live a fulfilled life, nor will you be able to get to heaven without Jesus' sacrifice. And we looked at that last week. And if you haven't listened to that sermon, I encourage you to do so. But let's look at focus upward. Living in the light of the supremacy of Christ, verses 1 through 4, Paul tells us to focus upward. Look back at those verses. It says, so that you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So focus upward. And there are just a couple things that I want us to see about. You've probably heard the phrase, so-and-so person is too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Have anybody heard that or something similar? Well, that sometimes it may seem that we're focused so much on Christ, focused so much on God, that we're not any earthly good. And that's an indictment on Christians who live that way, because that means we're not doing the one another passages is basically the premise behind that quote. However, Scripture tells us in this verse that our focus should be on things above, where Christ is, on heaven, in order to be worldly good. So let's look at just the verbs that Paul uses. Look back in verse 1. First, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above. So we are to focus our attention. We are to search for where truth is to be found. We are to see where Christ is and think on these things. We are to search and seek and struggle to find where truth is. Truth is found in Christ. Paul just spent the entire first part of this letter to this church talking about the supremacy of Christ, and he set up that is where truth is found. Well, at the time of Paul's writing, just like it is now, Christ, although he is with us in spirit, bodily, he is in heaven with his Father, and so we need to see where our truth comes from. It's through Christ and in Christ, so we are to seek where he is. That means that we shouldn't worry about earthly philosophies, anything going on here, what popular culture says. Our truth, true truth, comes from the one seated on the throne. And so we are to seek that in order to find out how to live. So we are to live or focus our gaze upwardly. Now look at the second verb that Paul talks about here in verse 2. Not only are we to seek, but we are to set, verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That means once we see the truth that Christ has and the truth that Christ is, we are to have that set as our internal posture that guides our outward action. That's our internal posture that guides our outward action or our behaviors. So it's basically after we see that Christ is true, after we see that he is supreme, and we seek those things, then we internalize those things, set it into our hearts as that's what we're going to focus on, because we know that that is truth. And that truth then that is outlined as Paul is telling us then guides our life and our outward behavior. So it is making that decision, if you will, to be able to set to our being, our backbone, the reason that we can do what we do here on earth is because our minds are set on the truth that comes from God who is above. So our focus is again upward. Then look in verse 3. Not only are we to seek, not only are we to set, but then verse 3, we are to hide. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when we do seek the things that are above, when we do set our backbone on the truth that is in Christ and have that guide our posture, guess what's going to happen when a sinful world starts to interact with us? They're going to start reacting like a sinful world would. And they're going to be hostile to the truth. They're going to be hostile to how we're trying to live our lives and how we're trying to show them Christ, because darkness hates the light. And if you don't believe me, go back and read the Old Testament book of Psalms and how many times David had to hide, metaphorically speaking and physically speaking. And we have to hide ourselves sometimes in the security that Christ provides, because there's going to be times in our lives as we are focused upward that we're going to be opposed to what the world is doing, and we are going to have open hostility against us. And so we need to be able to hide our lives in Christ, as it says, and we are to hide our lives. That means that our security is found only in Christ Jesus. If we try to openly stand on anything else, then we will be cut down. But because our lives are hidden behind the cross, we have true security. And so Paul is telling the church here, as you focus upward, you're hiding in the glorious finished work of Christ when you have these spiritual assaults coming at you. Verse 4, then the last verb, if you will, is appear. Verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. So the way that we focus our lives upward, the way that our focus is upward, is the fact that even now we know that in the last day, when Christ comes and consummates everything for his glory, that we will appear with him, and we have that hope and that trust in him, because this is what happens when we are focused on what God has given us in Christ and our focus is upward. So Paul wants to tell the Colossian church, as he is pivoting from theology or orthodoxy, that's what we need to believe, right? The supremacy of Christ, as he's transitioning from orthodoxy to orthopraxy, or how we should live, he wants to make sure that the Colossian church and us today understand that it's not just a set of rules that he's giving us, but God's way, God's truth, and in the light of Christ's supremacy, then, sets out a path for us to live in order to live fulfilled, not in what we do, but in who we are hidden in, Christ Jesus. So as we go into this orthopraxy section, if you will, or how we should live section, Paul wants to make sure that he sets the ground rules, because he says, I don't want you to be a legalist. I don't want you to say, oh, don't touch, don't eat, don't do this, don't do that, without understanding why. Right? I had a conversation yesterday. I had the privilege of being on a podcast with several guys in the local area from local churches called The Dad Show. When it comes out, the video will be out. We'll share it. But we were talking about elders and elders in the church, and we got to talking about how they need to be examples for the flock, and how they need to lead the flock, right? But one of the things that was mentioned in there is, in doing the eldering of the congregation, it's not that we're trying to build our own kingdom. It's we're trying to build Christ's kingdom for his glory. Because if we start something, whatever ministry it is, without his glory in mind, then ultimately we're trying to build our kingdom, and it shouldn't be so. So it's the same thing with any rules and regulations set forth in Scripture. We need to understand, hey, that's for our good. Not because we want to be a legalist about it. It's because Christ is supreme. And we have the victory when we do fall and when we do fail. And we have ultimately an ultimate hiding place in the cross. So Paul wants to make sure he sets the framework correctly before going into the orthopraxy section. So focus our eyes upward. Verses 1 through 4, the second one. Don't slip backward. Don't slip backward. Because look in verse 5. Paul says, therefore. Now, a key that I would give you, anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, find out what it's there for. So, Paul is basically saying, because of the supremacy of Christ, therefore, we need to do this. Because Christ is supreme, because Christ is all righteous, because Christ is creator, because Christ is forgiver, savior, therefore, then Paul tells us, don't slip backward. Look in verses 5 through 11. Put to death what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now, put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices. In Christ, verse 10, you are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ, there is not Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free, but Christ is all in all. So Paul here is saying, therefore, because of our focus upward, because our focus is toward Christ, because we are getting our truth from Him, we need to combat what he tells the Galatian church is the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the world, right? All the issues that he lists here, sexual immorality, lust, anger, deceit, malice, all of these things, Paul says you need to put them away. Not only put them away, but put them to death. Kill them, metaphorically speaking. Kill those sinful desires in your life. And the earthly nature brings judgment, right? He says, verse 6, God's wrath is coming upon this stuff. And we see how it's broke down. Paul actually breaks it down for us pretty cleanly. Verse 5 is the fleshly desires. The fleshly desires. Because think of the things that he lists here in verse 5. Sexual immorality, that's a desire. Impurity, that's a desire. Lust, that's a desire. Evil desire, obviously that's a desire. Greed, that's a desire to have something else. And he calls it out and he says, which is idolatry. So in verse 5, he attacks the sinful nature of fleshly desires. But then he also talks about fleshly attitudes. Look in verses 8 and 9. But now put away the following. Anger, that's an attitude. Wrath, that's an attitude. Malice, that's an attitude. Slander, that's something you do out of a bad attitude. Filthy language from your mouth, same thing. Do not lie to one another, right? Since you put off all those old practices, Paul says, don't walk in fleshly desires or attitudes because you are now focused on what? Things above. And so Paul here wants to say, don't do these things anymore. You've been given to someone else. You have a new master. Those are not your slaves anymore. You do not have to give in to them. As a matter of fact, Paul tells you the type of drastic action he wants you to take. What's he say? Put them to death. And he tells them, you once walked this way, verse 7. You once walked in these things when you were living in them. And so I don't want us to skip over that too fast, because this is one thing that churches these days, especially in Western culture, need to understand, that people are walking through these things and they may be a Christian and they're still battling with these issues. Because yes, we were slaves to sin before our salvation, but now we're slaves to Christ. But that old self, maybe there's something we haven't put to death yet. Until the day we actually physically die, there are going to be sins that we struggle with and battle with our entire life. Well, as churches and church members, we need to understand that, because we're not perfect either. And Paul says, look, you once walked in these things. I'm telling you, don't do these things anymore because of Christ's supremacy. And he says, focus on the forgiveness that's in Christ. And he talks about that. And we are to focus on that and walk in a new way. We aren't to walk anymore. Well, how do we do that? Well, verse 10 says, put on the new self. Well, how do we do that? Paul says, you are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. So how do you get the knowledge to get to the image of your Creator? Well, you study God's Word. You pray. You gaze on Christ. That's why Paul is telling you, you want to see how to live, look to Jesus. You want to see how to know more and how you should battle these things and how to kill these things, look to Christ. And then he tells them, it doesn't matter where you've came from. Right? Verse 11, it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic status. None of that matters in Jesus. Verse 11, in Christ, there's not a Jew. There's not a Greek. There's not someone who's circumcised or uncircumcised. There's not a barbarian, a Scythian. There's not a slave. There's not a free person. But if you're in Christ, Christ is all and in all. So anyone who has repented of their sins and turned to Christ, regardless of their background, they are battling these things and they are struggling. And Paul is encouraging them not to slip backward because of their focus upward. And then lastly, then we see in verse 12 that we are to live outward. Live outward. We see our word again. What's it say in verse 12? Therefore. Right? So because we are not trying to slip backward, because we're fighting against slipping backward, and because we're living with our focus upward, therefore we can live outward. Verses 12 through 17, he says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly beloved, through Christ, basically, that's what he's telling them. It's when you come to Christ, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a grievance against one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you have been called, or you were also called, in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful. So we are to put on these things, compassion and kindness and gentleness and patience. We are to bear and forgive one another. And Paul is basically outlining, hey, you want to serve Christ better. You want to live outwardly. Stop focusing on yourselves. Go back to the previous verses where he talked about sinful desires and attitudes. Where was the focus? On ourselves. And we are to then focus our gaze on heaven while we're living outwardly. And by doing that, we put on the fruit of the Spirit that Paul tells us in Galatians that we're studying on Wednesday nights. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. And verse 13, when he talks about forbearing or forgiving one another and bearing with one another and forgiving one another, this is an indispensable ingredient for unity. Now, why do you think Paul would say that? Well, go back to verse 11. Think about the list of people he just listed. Jews and Greeks. As cultures, they hated one another. Slaves and free. There's an animosity there if you're a slave to a master. Barbarians compared to civilized people. Rich, poor, Scythian. Regardless of your background, you can come to Christ, but because of your background, there's going to be differences that we have. There are differences that we have in our church that we have to forbear with one another. That's what we're called to do in the light of the supremacy of Christ. And so Paul is encouraging them, you want to have unity, don't look for uniformity, but look for unity in Jesus. And then above all else, verse 14, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And then he talks about peace and thanksgiving. So Paul tells us we are to focus upward, don't slip backward, live outward. But then, you know, people may scratch their head and they say, how can we do this? Well, Paul tells us and finishes this up in verse 16 and 17. How do we do this? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching. So everything that we teach here at the church, everything that the Colossian church should teach, should be wisdom from Christ, because it's the word of Christ. And in that teaching, we are admonishing one another, helping one another. How? Well, Scripture should be at the heart of everything that we do. And he says, through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. So Scripture is at the heart of everything that we should be doing as a church. Whether our worship, whether our discipleship, whether our mutual care for one another. Yeah, it's great that we take care of one another, but if we're not doing it in the light of the supremacy of Christ, we're doing a good deed just because it's a good thing to do, versus doing a good deed to honor Christ, because His Word tells us that is what's best for us in the light of His glory. And then verse 17. Everything that we do then, because we are focused on Christ, because we are focused on the things above, we're fighting against slipping backward and we're living outwardly. Paul encourages us and says, whatever you do, pretty much sums up everything, right? Whatever it is you do, whether you're talking in word, whether you're executing in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So it's for God's glory through the supremacy of Christ that we then can practice proper orthopraxy, or doing good, how we should live, because Christ is supreme. If Christ wasn't supreme, it doesn't matter how a person lives. But because Christ is supreme, our focus is upward, we try to fight slipping backward, and we live outward. Let's pray. Dear Lord, this encouragement is mainly for Christians this morning, ones who have repented of sin and turned to You. And we praise You that in Scripture, You give us this encouragement and this direction. But dear Lord, if someone is here who is trying to live a good life, or a life that they're seen as a good person, apart from the fact that You are supreme, then they will get frustrated. And just like the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity and vanity, all is vanity, because they will see that it's futile to live a life apart from You. And dear Lord, if there's anyone here or under the sound of my voice that's struggling with our salvation this morning, they've wanted to try to live a good life, they've been trying to do good, they think their good works will save them and give them a better position with You, help them to see that everything must be through the lens of the supremacy of Christ. And that starts with His sacrifice on the cross, taking the wrath that is due us on Himself, bearing that weight and perfectly satisfying the debt that we owed. And dear Lord, if they repent of their sins and turn to You, You are faithful and just to forgive them, and they will cry out to You. Whosoever believes on the name of the Lord will be saved. Dear Lord, and I pray if there's anyone here this morning who has not done that, that they will do that even today. If they have questions about that, I would love to have a conversation after the service with them. They can come down here and pray at the altar. If there's any Christian here who is struggling with focusing their gaze upward in order to fight slipping backward, and in order to live a holy and just life outwardly, in humility, praising You, I just pray that You will give them a refreshment this morning, a fresh view of You, the fact that we are living in the light of Your supremacy, living in the light of Your victory, and help us to be refreshed in that understanding. Maybe there's someone here who's been struggling with that. Maybe they need to pray just for refreshment this morning. Bury these words in our hearts that we will draw closer to you and that we may not sin against you. We turn this time over to you. We love you and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.